So here we go. Peri Mem Dalu Pasuk Yutes. We would say some. We were describing over here the Kohanim. We learned yesterday machlokes between the Mitzudos, Rashi, and the Radak, the Malbim. We went to all four, who discuss the difference between who are the Kohanim that we are referring to. Are we referring to Kohanim Gedolim, or are we referring to the Kohanim Hedyotim, ordinary Kohanim? And the Chiddush, one thing that everyone agrees upon, without exception, is that the Kohanim in the time of Bayis Shlishi are not the ordinary Kohen, at least the Kohanim from the descendants of Bnei Tzadok, are going to have some elements, some degree of being elevated to the status of a Kohen Gadol. Bisman, in the time of the Mishkan, the Bayis Shlishi, there was a clear distinction between a Kohen Hedyot and a Kohen Gadol. And that was manifested in the avnate, in the belt. The belt is what showed the difference. That was the true separation between the men and the boys, was the avnate. And this difference is going to be blurred at the time of the Bayis Shlishi. I'm coming in with a cold. I'm not going to lose my voice. Hope I don't lose my voice next week. I feel it coming.
You mean in terms of yes, avnate or no avnate?
Yeah, well, no, different types of avnate. Avnate of
like
only shatnes.
I mean,
a white belt and a black belt. It's an interesting idea. Purple belt in karate. We'll do it. The color belts to your status.
Your degree, black belt.
In a so where does that come from? I will chayyim. You have to. Everything is rooted in our religion. Everything comes back to us, and you see this very interesting point that in that world, the color of your belt means a lot. And you see over here, when it comes to the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol had one type of belt, and the Kohen Hedyot had a different type of belt. And this is a sugya, this is machlokes in the Gemara, big sugya we learned yesterday, we touched upon. There are different opinions, and you can manipulate, you can twist the pasuk back and forth different ways, but the common theme according to everyone is that it used to be there was a clear distinction between the Kohen Hedyot and the Kohen Gadol. This distinction now will be blurred at the time of the Bayis Shlishi, where the Kohanim, ordinary Kohanim, are going to be wearing belts that are similar to the belt of the Kohen Gadol. Now the question is why. The one thing we just wanted to finish up. What?
What about the other
people? No. That's obvious. Well, obviously, only the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz and the eel and the ephod. That's obvious, but in addition, still an ordinary Kohen Hedyot still will be elevated in at least in one degree, in one dimension. There are going to be other things that we're going to learn about, their haircuts. Their haircuts also, they're going to be, what? No, the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim is only done.
Any Avodah can do any time.
The Kohen Gadol can do an Avodah any time that he wants. That's a given. Well, no, not necessarily. If a Kohen Hedyot brings his own carpet, if a Kohen Hedyot walks in one day, he walks in when it's not his mishmar, and he has an obligation to bring a carbon chatas. He did an aveira, or he wants to bring a carbon. I think it says in Chazal that they can do avoida whenever they want, private avoida. They only have to report for duty to serve the tzibur twice a year. But if they would choose to come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a carbon oila, a carbon chatas, they can do the avoida themselves. They have a right. That's their right. They're kohanim. They can come now. Maybe they can't get in the way. Maybe there are too many kohanim. I don't know how the all the details of how it worked. But a Kohen Gadol can for sure do any avoda he wants whenever he wants. That's Chazal. Whenever he wants, he can walk in. What?
Anytime.
He can. I'm here. Everyone out. I'm here. It's my house. I do whatever I want. And when it comes to a Kohen Hedyot, okay, so it is not as much, not to the same degree, but obviously he's given a chance to do an Avodah. But what about their garments, the Levush? So we learned yesterday, this very interesting idea is that in the time of Mashiach, the Kohen Hedyot will be elevated, his stature, his holiness, will be elevated to a degree, not entirely, obviously he can't do the Avodah Yom HaKippurim, but his Kiddush will be elevated to a little bit like a Kohen Gadol, and that is shown, and is seen, expressed in the fact that his Avnate is going to be the same as the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol. So the question is why? Why did it manifest itself specifically in the Avnet? Why couldn't it manifest itself in the hat? You know, we know that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hed, they wore different hats. Different type. One is called the Mitznefes, one is called the Migbaos. The Kohen Hed wore a Migbaos, the Kohen Gadol wore a Mitznefes. Why couldn't it be that maybe we'll let the Kohen and the Hed Yoitim to wear a tzitz? Anyway, they wear tefillin, so why can't they wear tzitz? Why did it have to be manifested in bedafka when it comes to the avnet more so than any other in any other fashion? So the answer is very simple. It's because what is the avnet? The avnet is the levush that's mavdil between the erva and the lev, the heart and the erva. Okay, that's why the halacha, Shulchan Aruch, when we daven, you have to have upon your body an avnet. So people who do not wear a gartel, we rely upon either the belt you wear or on your pants, or the elastic in the undergarments. So everyone to some degree has upon his body at all times, but when he davens, an avnet. What's the avnet for? To be mavdil between the erva and the heart. Why is that necessary? Because the erva represents the extreme degree of physicality. Of gashmius in the person's taivus, and the heart represents the extreme degree of spirituality, and there has to be a separation between gashmius and ruchnius. There has to be an understanding that the ruchnius is supreme, and the gashmius is something which has to be taken care of. It has to be elevated for the purpose of Kedusha, has to be used in a way to give Kedusha, you have to infuse it with Kedusha, but you have to know your place. There cannot be a confusion between the two. So therefore, a Kohen, that the belt of the Kohen Gadol, and the belt of the Kohen Hedyot, until this point in time, until Mashiach, is different. Because the Kohen Gadol is on a Madrego, where he is the only one in Klal Yisrael that has achieved, at least ideally, the Madrego, or he represents, of the complete separation between Ruchnius and Gashmius. It doesn't mean we separate, we know the goal is to elevate the Gashmius, but before you can elevate the Gashmius, you have to know what you're dealing with. And before you can go and you can take a Dover Gashmi and elevate and use it for the purpose of Avodas Hashem, you can't fool yourself. You have to first define, this is a Dover Gashmi, this is a Dover Ruchni, we know what we're dealing with, and now we have the raw material we now can work to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who is not on a very high spiritual level is a little bit confused. Is a little bit confused what exactly he fools himself. He thinks that when he says Kriya Shema, and he says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he's mamish 100% L'Shem Shemayim. He's fooling himself. There's a degree of selfishness, there's a degree of gashmius in things that he thinks he's doing L'Shem Shemayim. And things that are gashmi, he thinks, I've taken what's the davar gashmi, I've elevated it, when I'm eating food, I'm having a delicious meal, I'm not eating it for my own pleasure, I'm eating this piece of meat in order to have a good experience to serve Hashem. You're fooling yourself. It's nonsense. You're eating the piece of meat because it tastes good. You want to enjoy it. You're fooling yourself. So a person has to know where they are holding. After you know where you're holding, then you can proceed to elevate and serve Hashem. Therefore, this is the difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot. This Madrega and La'asilavo, even a Kohen Hedyot in this respect will be able to clearly differentiate Ben Kodesh L'chol, Ben Or L'Achoshech, Ben Yisrael L'Amin, Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheish Esimei HaMaseh. He'll be able to achieve this thing called of Havdalah. And when there is Havdalah, then there is, or then that's the starting point for Kiddusha. Yes?
Question. You know, you have only one Kohen Gadol, so he's above everybody else. If you say every Kohen, is that what Hashem is saying, that every Kohen will reach that level? Like taking an exam. Some people are brilliant, they get 100 on the test. Some people get 80, some people get 90s. They want to get 100, but they don't have the potential in terms of capability. So is Hashem saying that every Kohen Mamash by this Avnei, wearing it, will reach that potential level? Is it every Kohen guaranteed?
I don't even say every Kohen, but in contrast to what was before, the Kohanim, the ordinary Kohanim, are on a higher spiritual level. Look, Korach, that's really what Korach's question was. Kol ha'am kulam kidoshim, uvisaycham Hashem. Here we are in the midbar, we're eating man, we've all witnessed Matan Torah, Moshe, why do you take it upon yourself to be the Melech? Why do you have all of this authority? Why does your brother Aaron have all this authority? We're all the same.
But Hashem rejected that.
Exactly. Exactly. So what is it? But Korach wasn't mistaken. When Korach made his statement, he wasn't mistaken. The only thing Korach went, according to one interpretation, is he went, even though it's true that an ordinary person reached a very high, exalted spiritual level, but you're not the boss. The authority is still given to one person. You have to understand, you can be on a very high level. Many, more often than you go to yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva is not necessarily the biggest Talmud Chacham. The Rosh Yeshiva, there are people in the yeshiva, who are bigger Talmidei Chachamim, who are bigger Paiskim. However, that's the way it is. The circumstances are such that this individual, he was in the right place in the right time, and things worked out according to Hashem, whatever Hashem wanted. He is the one who makes the decisions. And if you don't like it, even though you know more than him, even though you think you're smarter than him, and you're on a higher spiritual, you have Gili Elio. Every night you have Gili Elio and the Rosh Yeshiva. He's at home reading the newspaper. So it doesn't matter. He's the Rosh Yeshiva, and you're at home with Eliyahu HaNavi. Zehu. It doesn't make a difference. In shuls, how many times you have in shuls, you have balabatim, they have very chashat talmidei chachamim. They're sometimes on a very exalted level. It doesn't matter. They're not the boss. So that's the difference. But it does tell you that it's going to be a madrega, a different madrega in the future, where the kedusha of the ordinary kohen will be elevated, they will touch upon, not exceed, but at least touch upon in this respect, in one respect, the Kohen Gadol, and it's illustrated, it's expressed in the fact that the Avnet is going to be the same as the Kohen Gadol. Okay, now let's go further. Pasuk Yutes says, it would say some when they leave. Perik Mendalit, Pasuk Yutes. When they leave to the Chatzar HaChitz, and have to remember, this is the subject of the Machlokes yesterday. What is the Chatzar HaPnimis? Is the Chatzar HaPnimis the Heichel, or is the Chatzar HaPnimis the Azara? So we'll have to go review the words of the Mefarshim. Each of the Mefarshim is going to be l'shitosa. It's going to have to follow, go be consistent with what he said before. But now we're going out into the Chatzar HaChitzayna, from the El HaChatzar HaChitzayna, when he would say Psalms, El HaChatzar HaChitzayna, and it repeats. Again, these words, it's very bizarre why he repeats these words a second time. We have to see Mefarshim. El HaChatzar HaChitzayna, El Ha'am, Yifshitu es bigdehem, they will remove their clothing, asher hema mishar simbam, vehinichu oisam, they will deposit them, belishchos hakodesh, in the chambers, the holy chambers, velovshu bigodim achirim, they will put on their bigdechol, velo yikadashu esam bivigdehem, and they will not, the word yikadashu here is used in an unusual way, they will not appear to be holy. We'll see the mitzvahs in a moment, they will not appear to them, okay, we'll read them for a few moments, in a state of holiness. Now that they mingle outside, they have to be dressed in a state of big day chol. Okay, let's right away see the Mefarsh. Pasuk, the Mitzvah of it. Pasuk Yotes. How he explains this idea. We have to remember it's Hidl Shitosai. Everyone's going to have a different mahalach in this Pasuk. Pasuk begins with the Tesam, Kasha Yetzu HaKoyhanim Mehazara Shalohem. When they leave the Azara, El Chatzar Chitzayna, V'chayzim Mefarish, El Chatzar, Ritzon Leimar. Every time it says Ritzon Leimar, it's a stop sign, it's not to be taken literally. Masha Marti El Chatzar Chitzayn, this that we said 1 moment ago, Chatzar Chitzayn, HaKavana Hi El Ha'am, Kolaimar, Ein HaKavana LeEzras Noshim. It's not referring to the Ezras Noshim, the simple meaning of Chatzar Chitzayna. Now, according to the Mitzudos, it's really even more difficult, because according to the Mitzudos, when he learned Pshat yesterday, the Chatzar HaPnimis was the Heichel. So you would expect that when it says the Chatzar HaChitzayna, it means the Azara. The Chatzar HaPnimis is the Heichel. Remember, there are three major sections. There is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichel, and the Ulam. It was called the Chatzar HaPnimis because it's inside of the Ulam. But it's still called a Chatzar because a Chatzar is always outside. It's outside the Kodesh HaKodashim. That's how we translate the word Chatzar HaPnimis. So when it says Chatzar HaChitzayna, you would think it means either the Ulam or the Azara. But that's not what the Mitzudos David says it means here. It means he's going to go out even further, all the way into the Harabais. To the Harabais. Masha Marti El Chatzar HaChitzayna, Akavani Hi El Am, Klema, In Akavani Le'ezras Hanashim, Kim El Am, Hu Ezras Hanashim. It does not mean to the Ezras Noshim, Ki im el amu Ezras Anoshim asher sham amida sa'am, avolumul Ezras, I'm sorry, I made him say, Elumul Ezras akoyhanim nikra'a b'shem chatzir hachitzayin. So the need over here is that we know that in the Azara, the first 11 amois was called the Ezras Yisrael. And the remainder of the Azara was called the Ezras Koyhanim. The Mitzudos here is saying a very big chiddush that when he goes out to the Am, when he goes to the last 11 Amos of the Azara, when you stand in that area, that's called the Ezras Yisrael. If a person wants to come and watch the Avod, but they were permitted to come into the Azara and stand in those 11 Amos to observe what was taking place in the Beis HaMikdash. That's all part of the same big room. That's where the people mingle. When the Kohanim want to stand and mingle with the people in those 11 Amos, it's called here, they go to the Chatzar HaChitzayinah. But not outside. We don't mean to go mamish out the door, past what we would call in the Bais Rishani, the Shar Nikanor. That, now you're not going that far. And then what does it say? It says, then the words are Es Big Dehem. They take off their clothing, Big Deh Kuhuna, the chambers are in the lower part of the mountain, Umimal. Okay, so I'm not sure what he means. There are different chambers. There are chambers all over the place, and some of these chambers are going to be used for depositing their clothing. So here's a very difficult expression. When it says, it should not appear that the people are kidoshim kimolhem, ki im yavohu shama bedigde kuhuna, if they stand there with their bigde kuhuna, mingle with a common man, yehei nira lakol she'en chashosh im yigu bohem b'nei ha'am, that there's no harm done if you touch me. If I'm mingling with you, it's very likely you're going to rub shoulders, you're going to touch me. And that is forbidden. Ki iluhem kidosh. Now, why could the people touch the kohanim? Because the people, ki iluhem kidoshim kmo hakohan. That means we're all equal, but we're not all equal. The kohanim are holier than the common man. So, if we're going to allow the kohanim to mingle with the common man with their uniforms on, so that means we're all the same, and we're not all the same. There has to be a distinction. Therefore, it's important, it's critical that they do not mingle with the people when they're wearing their big de kahuna in that area. It's a very interesting idea. That's how we learn the Shabbat Pasik. Look, go back and read the words, the last few words. If they are going to mingle with the common man wearing the big de kahuna, it's as if they're telling the people, you're just as holy as us. By doing this, you're sanctifying, you're falsely sanctifying the people. The lo yikachu esam. Do not falsely sanctify the people by mingling with them bibig dehem while they're wearing their holy clothing. Okay, so this is Mitzudos l'sirashi. Rashi pasuk it says l'chotzeh chitzona l'chotzeh chitzona. It says it twice. Why does it say this expression twice? So Rashi Mitzudos told us it's an explanation. This that we say l'chotzeh chitzona. Let us clarify. How often do you have that in Tanakh, where you have a pasuk that comes along and clarifies? It's the very weird type of an expression for the pasuk to do something like this, but that's what the Mitzvot Torah says. How does Rashi learn? Since until this point in time we were in the Hegel, Rashi l'shitasai, we were in the Hegel, v'lefnai v'lefnim, and we were also in the Kodesh HaKodashim, u'kara'ah, we called the Chatzar HaPanimis, the Etzlam yesh loy likrois Ezras Yisrael Chatzar HaKitzayna. And thus, we can call the Ezras Yisrael, meaning the entire, I think he means here the entire, I think when he means Rashi, when he says Ezras Yisrael, he means the entire Azara relative to the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKadosh, we can call the Chatzar HaChitzayna, Lekach Hutzrach Lichbol Shtei Pa'amim. Loimash al Ezras Noshim hu Oimer Mokoim Shekol Yisrael Nichnosin. So here we see a clear disagreement with the Mitzudos David, and Rashi says it's not coming to explain, it's coming to push you out to Madregos. Until this point in time, Yecheskel was discussing what's taking place in the Heichel. and also the Kodesh HaKodashim, because Rashi learned that we're dealing with the Kohanim Gedolim, we're going Lefnai V'Lefnim, and it was called the Chatzar HaPenimis, so the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKodashim, and also for that matter the Ulam, that entire structure, it is called generally the Chatzar HaPenimis. Now we want to discuss what the Kohanim should do when they go out to the Ezras Noshim. To go out to the Ezras Noshim, you have to go out two machanos. So that's not a machanos. You have to go out two different madregos. You have to leave the Heichel and go into the Azara, the main Azara, and then go out the door and go into the Ezras Noshim. Therefore, it says in the pasuk twice, El Chatzer Hachitzoina, El Hechatzer Hachitzoina. We're going out two steps. From the Heichel into the Azara, and from the Azara into out the door into the Ezras Noshim. And when they go in the Ezras Noshim, they're not there allowed to mingle with the ordinary Yisraelim while they're wearing their big day kahuna, like we're going to see in a few moments. So notice this is in disagreement with the Mitzudos David, who learns that the Chatzar HaChitzoina is not the Ezras Noshim. That's a given that Kohanim are not allowed to wear a big day kahuna in the Ezras Noshim. Even in the last 11 amos of the Azara, the Kohanim are not allowed to wear the big day kahuna, because in those 11 amos is where the ordinary Yisraelim stand, and they're not allowed to mingle with an ordinary Yisrael, because they're going to give the Yisraelim a false impression that there's no difference between the Kohanim and them.
But don't the Yisraelim stand there when they bring the
carpet? Yes, they do. They do. That's exactly the point. That's what? That's exactly the point. They stand there. They stand there, but they don't mingle with the Kohanim. They stand and they watch. They stand there and they watch, but the Kohanim cannot come near them. If the Kohanim cannot pass that line, what?
Except for Sukkot, when they did the.
On Sukkot, there was with who? So who did that? Everyone did that. All in the Kohanim. Who's the one that put the Arava? Put the Arava against the Mizbech. Was it only the Kohanim, or was it every ordinary person? I don't know. Maybe you're right. Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach, Lechoyritz, Mashma, everyone was able to come inside for Korban Pesach, yeah. Right? It says the whole Klal Yisrael came inside.
It says that they had the Kohanim lined up so they could bring the...
Yeah, but who's offering the Korban Pesach? They sang Shira. I think the Pashto says that every Yisrael was allowed to come into the Azara on Erev Pesach when they offered the Korban Pesach. Ordinarily, though, not. Sukkot, I don't know. You're saying with the minig of Arava, the minig Nevim, to put the Arava around the Mizbech. Who did that? Was it only the Kohanim? Only the Kohanim, Bura Yisraelim? I don't know. Maybe you're right. Only the Kohanim. But certainly during the year, certainly when it was not Erev Pesach, not Sukkot, certainly the Yisraelim are not allowed to come close. They could only come 11 Amos. And in those 11 Amos, they come, they do smicha. I assume that, I don't know, where do they do smicha? When you bring Korban Chatos, you have to do smicha. Were they allowed for a moment to come up to the Kohanim to do smicha on the animal? Or did the animal was brought to those 11 Amos for them to do smicha? You bring the animal to the person, or the person goes to the animal? I don't know the answer. I don't know. It's not so clear. What? So b'di'eved, if there were not enough kohanim, shchita k'shera b'zar. It was even kosher an eved and an isha, the Gemara says. We learned yesterday. Even an isha b'di'eved can do the shchita for korbanos.
But the katchila has to be a kohen?
What? No. A shchita? Shchita can be done b'zar. Shchita k'shera. The lighting of the menorah inside of the Heichel,
right,
can be done by a Yisrael.
Right.
We learned yesterday the Melech HaMashiach was a Yisrael, had an office in the entranceway to the Heichel. So you see that Yisraelim were permitted to enter into this area.
A woman could shecht? That's a yes.
Obviously, you don't see it being done, obviously, but a woman can be the shechita for the carbon. She can even do the shechita for a carbon in the Azara. The shechita has to be done in the Azara. When it comes to Kashem Kalam, it's anywhere, but it has to be in the Azara. So an Isha was allowed to enter into the Azara, at least according to the letter of the law, to do a shechita for a carbon. And even an Evet, even an Evet Kenani, isn't that what it says? Evet Kenani had tzvila umila. Evet Kenani was allowed to come into the Azara to do shechita. That's what it said. We said in Rashi yesterday.
Yeah. So,
what? The Saita was also brought. So the Saita is not tzaddikal. The Saita is also coming in. And Kenani. So a lot was going on in the Beis Hamikdash. We will
even Evet Kenani could
shecht. Yeah, that's what it said. Yes, Evet Kenani could shecht. Evet Kenani is a Jew to some degree. He had tzvila, umila. Haman was a Jew. Haman, Haman HaRasha was the Eved Kenani of Mordechai. Haman had Bris Milah. Haman went to Mikvah. He knew all about it. How did he know all the secrets of the Jewish people? That's the Mikvah. You know all the gossip. Haman, he hung out in the Mikvah. He was an Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani has Tzvilah Umilah. Chasam Sofer. What is an Eved Kenani? Eved Kenani is a very complex creature. What is the status of Eved Kenani? So that's not for now. Vaita. Let's look at Rashi.
As a whole.
Yeah. I guess in Torah Samoisha. I don't know where. It's a famous Chasam Sofer that Haman was a Jew. Everyone quotes this in Purim. Haman was Jewish, and Mordechai, it says, he showed him the star. He showed him that you're
he wrote it on the shoe.
What does it say in the Pasuk? It says in the Pasuk, there's a Pasuk which is Mashma that he actually showed him the star. You are my slave. I'm not going to bow down to you. Mordechai lo yichiv lo yishtachve. So it says here another Pasuk, ki hu Yehudi. What's the Pasuk? What was it? Asher hu Yehudi. The Chasam Sofer learns al drush ki gid lo. Because Mordechai told Haman, "Ki hu Yehudi, you Haman are a Jew." Pshuta Shel Mikra is that it was told to Haman that Mordechai is a Jew. Chasam Sofer says no. Ki Gidlo, the reason why Haman hated Mordechai was because Mordechai continuously reminded Haman, "Ki hu Yehudi, you're Jewish. You're just like us. You're also Jewish. You're my slave." You were once my slave. They were once appointed by Achashverosh to go to battle,
right.
And they were both given provisions, and Haman was sloppy and he used up all of his resources. And Haman and Mordechai was
food.
Wise,
not
food and fuel and soldiers, and Haman was on the verge of being wiped out. So Mordechai came to his aid. He saved him, but at an expense. There was a price. What was the price? He had to sell himself as a slave to Mordechai. And he never lived that down.
That's one version.
Okay, right. They're different. Maybe Joshua. Or Michal, he wrote the Medrash. He wrote the Medrash? Michal?
I didn't write
You know that?
Medrash.
He wrote the Medrash. What's the difference? Translating, writing, it's all the same. Okay, next. Next was in Rashi. Nichu Oysam Belushkos HaKodesh. Now Rashi over here is getting into trouble. Because what Chazal darsh from these words, Rashi, this pasuk, v'nicham sham, is said in reference to the Kohen Gadol. I want Chazal learn from the word v'nicham sham, geniza. Geniza, that the big day kahuna, the Kohen Gadol wore one year, can never be worn again. Only wear his clothing one time. V'nicham sham, mikan shatu'unim geniza. Why? Because it's not a Jewish, because the Beged represents your midos, it represents your accomplishments, and the Madrega that you are on every year when it comes Yom Kippur should not be the same. It's not just a repeat of the same performance. There was once. It's a very famous story. I don't remember.
They have to make new clothing every year.
Every year, the Kohen Gadol, even if he did not gain weight, did not lose weight.
Is that Lachem Moshe Sinai or this is?
Gzeres Hakasa, better than Lachem Moshe Sinai.
Which pasuk?
V'hinicham sham. This pasuk we just call Ufashat.
The genetic to wear Yom Kippur Kittel, the one that you wore at the Seder, because you want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have the stains from you ate the cut.
Right, that's the chassidus from the stains. You go in with the zechus of the blood. You go with the zechus of the seder.
I'm sorry, what's this again?
V'hinicham v'yikra tezayin chav gimel farshat is b'di ha'barash lavash v'hinicham sham. This pasuk was said about the Kohen Gadol when he goes to Fnai V'lefnim, and he comes out of Yom Kippurim on the day is over after he changed the clothing 4 times, that the clothing that he wore that year has to be put in Geniza. He may not wear the same big day lava on the following year, Geniza, even if he did not gain weight or lose weight, and it fits him perfectly because every year has to be different. It's not a repeat performance. There's a famous story about one of the very big rebbes of this generation. Maybe it was the Satmar Rebbe. I don't know. Did the Satmar Rebbe daven Musaf on Yom Kippurim? I don't think so. I don't think it was him. I think it was someone else. I don't remember which rebbe. It was one of the very famous rebbe. He had a beautiful voice. I think I'm saying he used to daven. He had a beautiful voice, and he davened Musaf, and it was a chasna. It was during the year, and there was a batran, a very talented batran, And the Baal Tikkun asked permission from the Rebbe, whichever Rebbe this was, can he imitate him? Same Rebbe? Can he imitate his Nusach HaTzvilah for the enjoyment of the Tzibur? And one of the piyutim that he sang. So he gave him permission. And he began to sing the piyut exactly the way the Rebbe sang the piyut on Yom Kippur. And the Rebbe began to cry. So the person, the Baal Tikkun, he said to the Rebbe, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything. So he says, "No, I'm not upset at you. Why was I crying? I was listening to you and I was mishtoimein how well you were able to imitate me. It was like a carbon copy. You were able to imitate me with such precision. It was awesome. And then I realized that every year when I daven Musaf, I'm just imitating myself what I did last year. When I daven this year, when I did it for the first time, I did it very well, I reached a certain madrega of ruchnius, and every single year, I just copy myself. The same way you copied me today, and you're not me, with all due respect, you're not me, but you're able to copy me, I copy myself. That means I am not really true to myself. When I daven on Yom Kippur, am I really doing it fresh? Is it really new? No, it's just imitation what was last year. That's exactly the essence of what this pasuk means, v'hini cham sham. It's not a repeat performance. When you go lifnai v'lifim yom kippurim, you don't wear the same clothing. The clothing have to be made all over again. You gotta go to the tailor, and they have to measure you, and they have to make new material. They have to import the material, the linen. They have to grow it fresh in order that it should be fresh, it should be a renewal. So here, what is very fascinating, over here it says, this is exactly what the pasuk of here is telling us, that when it comes to Melucham, it is a very, very, very beautiful yesoid. And Rashi is bringing this in. Do not think for one moment that when it comes the time of Mashiach, we're going to reach a plateau. Oh, now here we are, Mashiach is here, and we have the Bayis Shlishi, so now a very high spiritual level, and there's no more to go. No, when it comes in time of the Beis HaMikdash, Bayis Shlishi, there will be continuous growth, continuous spiritual growth, just like V'yinicham Sham. There's no repetition. From time to time, there's always going to be a new Madrega. That's what Rashi is alluding to when he says over here, V'yinicham Sham. Now, you have to understand, is this part, this halacha, the way the same clothing only applies to the Kohen Gadol, does not apply to the Kohen Hayit? Is this part referring to the Kohen Gadol? Well, Rashi said, yeah. Rashi Lishitase learned that these psukim before, yesterday, was referring specifically to the Kohen Gadol. And according to Mahalich, that's why the pasuk here again says was v'hinicham rash, according to the pasuk that was said by the Kohanim Gedolim when he comes out on Yom Kippurim, v'lo yikadshu sa'am, when they come out they should not be mekadesh. What does that mean? So targum, you understand, v'lo yis orvun im ama bilvu shehon, they should not mingle kiloimar. When Rashi says kiloimar, that means the pasuk is not to be translated literally. The word yiskadshu nowhere in the world means to mingle. Kiddush apun fakeret, kiddush always means separation. Kol makom sh'ata moitze geder Erva, Atamaitse, you find Kiddusha. So Kiddusha always means separation. Here it means over here just the opposite, to mingle. Now before we even read the Rashi, I'll tell you that's an Akasha, because more often, very often, we always say this over, is that words always mean extremes. Sokol and Yisokel. Sokol means to throw stones. Yisokel, Yisakel means to remove the stones. Yishrosh, Yisharesh. Yishrosh and Yisharesh. Subbing takes root, and Yisharesh means to uproot. The same letters. It's exactly, and there are many, many examples of this idea. So if you have the word Kedusha, and you have word, look, even the word Kodesh, there is a Kedusha, is the Geder Erva. And yet, a Kedesha and a Kodesh represents the person who is the antithesis of right. What Kedusha is all about. So you see the word, so you'll answer it's not a riot, because the word Kedusha is a borrowed term. The word Kedusha means designated. Designated. So something can be designated for holiness, and something can be designated for the purpose of Avera. That's one answer. But the better answer is that no, the word, it's not a borrowed term. This is the essence of the word. It means either holiness or the ultimate form of contamination. That's when you have a word and you manipulate the vowels, that is the nature of Lashon Kodesh. You have one word, Yishrosh, Yisharesh. That's the classic example. So to Kedusha, this Kodosh, and there is a Kodesh, and a Kodesh, and a woman will be a Kedesha. So it's the same exact word. When you manipulate the vowels, it goes from one extreme to the other extreme. You do not have to say that it's a borrowed term, but it's the essence of the word. So even before you go weiter, and you just take the word over here, v'lo yikadshu esam bevigdehem, it's not so far-fetched to say that it means not to mingle. Rashi says that over here they're going to wear the bigdei kohuna. They should not go mingle with the people. The word kedusha normally uses reference to separation. Kedusha means to separate, the designation. When you play with vowels, it means the opposite. It means to mingle. But Rashi, Rashi, that's a tagum, right? So Rashi rejects that. Rashi thoroughly rejects that with the word kloima. When Rashi says the word kloima, Rashi means nope. That's not the literal translation. It's a borrowed term, or it's just you have to embellish what it means. Kloima lo yigu elam bevigdeyem hakidoshim. Do not mingle. Do not let the people touch the clothing which are holy. She'ein bigdei chol tohirin eitzel bigdei hakodesh. Don't mingle because your clothing are holy, their clothing are mundane, and it's going to lead to contamination. So Rashi is saying, don't take it literally. He's basically saying something very similar to what the Mitzudo Stavit said. Don't give the people the wrong impression that we're all the same. You're going to mingle with the people. It's going to give them the impression they're also holy. And if they're holy, they're going to touch your clothing. And it's not true. They're holding your kodesh, and it's going to cause contamination. Don't give them the wrong impression. He says klimar, which seems that don't take it literally. But the Targum, as he said, he did say the word lo yisarvun. He does translate the word yikachu to mingle. Okay, next. Okay, that concludes this section, at least according to Rashi. The yisoid is the chatzach yitzayna is the ezras noshim. And the nafkamina between Rashi and the Mitzudo says, are the Kohanim Gedolim allowed, or even the Kohanim allowed to stand in the Ezras Yisrael and mingle with the common men? According to the Mitzudo, no. From Rashi, it's mashma, yes. Rashi says the only place where they cannot mingle is in the Ezras Noshim. But inside the Azara, in the last 11 Amos from Rashi, it's mashma, they can mingle with the common man. I guess to get inside, you got to pass security. Anyone that gets into the Azara goes to security, and they check him out to make sure that he's a kadosh. Everything about him is 100% holy. Special device, special sensors, special smartphones that can scan the people to determine what degree of spirituality they have. Vaita. No one's laughing. Okay, Vaita. Pasuk Chaf. V'roisham lo yigalechu. Okay, next halach. V'roisham lo yigalechu. It says over here now. Are we dealing with the koyhanim? Let us the koyhanim gedolim. Koyhanim hegyodos. It's not so clear. But v'roisham lo yigalechu. They're not allowed to shave their heads. meaning they're pious. Just because the sideburns. By the way, where do we learn the halacha of the prohibition to shave off the sideburns and the beard? It's not said by Yisrael, it's said by Kohanim.
Right.
That's the whole drasha. Because if you take the psukim literally in the Torah and Parshas Emor, the only place where we have those sashchis pazikonecha pasreishcha.
Parshas Emor, I think.
What? Parshas Emor is only by the Kohanim, not by the Yisraelim. And from there we learn,
right,
every Yisrael, he is behaving in the way of a Kohen when he does not shave off his sideburns and his beard with a razor. So here it says exactly the same thing. Here it's repeating these halachas. V'roisham lo yigalechu, ufera lo yishlechu. On the one hand, do not shave off completely shave off your hair, because that would be a violation of shaving off the sideburns and shaving off the beard. But on the other hand, do not grow hair long. There has to be a balance. Do not let your hair, I'm telling you, don't shave off your sideburns, don't go and let your hair grow more than 30 days. Now that's a very hard word to translate. So if you look in the Mitzudos, he says the kusemes, spelt. Okay, there are five types of grain. Pesach, right? There's wheat, barley, spelt, oats, rye. I left out something? I got them all?
That's five.
Okay, so that's five. And there are three types, my joke, three types of people, those who know how to count and those who don't. Right, you know that? So, three types of people in this world. Those who know how to count and those who don't.
People, it's a joke.
Okay, so here we have the five types of grain. One of the five types is called kusmin, spelt. Google it. Google it. Go to Google Images.
Now it's very what common. Is, they sell
what spelt. Is spelt? So spelt the little growths along the stem of the spelt are very unique. They're bent in this very unique way. After, I don't know, you have to go see what this means. And that's what it says, that the person's hair on his head should look just like the hairs that grow on the stalk of spelt. Okay, I see everyone is Googling it. People take me literally for the wrong thing. The Rashi says, "Meloshon v'hachita v'hakusemes v'hu min zera." That's what your hair on your head should look like. In other words, it's a unique type of haircut, which Chazal says has been lost from us today. We don't have barbers that are skilled. You have a picture of what it looks like over there, spelled with something that follow these hair follicles, that curve. I have no idea what this means.
So the same goes for the Kahanim.
So this, let's see the first. Let's see Pasuk Chaf and the Mesuzah. We'll see different opinions on this night. Pasuk Chaf and the Mesuzah. Lo yigalechu sa'ar roisham lo yigalechu b'chol eis. Now, Mesuzah David says, he says he doesn't talk about the payas. That's something
right.
else. Okay, that's different. Different befarish.
Yeah.
Do not go and b'chol eis. Don't take a haircut every single day. Taking a haircut every single day is too much. That's only
ding
miuchet for the kohen gadol
and the
melech as well. Correct. Ufera lo yishalechu. On the other hand, lo yanichu gidul haseir lispashed yosemidai. Balance. Everything in life is a balance. V'yomer Chazal sheyegalchu echad l'shloishim yom. An ordinary kohen should grow once in 30 days. Kosoim yichsemu al kohen. Now here, the mitzudos is jumping. He's putting a hard break in between the words uper lo yishalechu. Period. That's for the kohanim hedyotos. And now, when the pasuk concludes kosoim yichsemu esra shehem, that's a reference to the kohen gadol. He has a different type of haircut. Kosoim yichsemu al kohanim gedolim yom ashehem yigal hu beoifen sheyagia roish seir ze betzad ikarish al ze. I don't know what this means. The tip of one hair should reach the root of the next hair. What does that mean? It's very nice words, but what exactly does that mean? I have no idea. Kakusemes hazo hasidu spelled hasidura bishiboilus. That is arranged in a stalk. Roishoy shel ze bitzadi koroy shel ze. Okay, so on a stalk, I don't know what this looks like. Somehow, one little piece of the stalk. It's one up against the other. Shalzeh Kain, Amru Razal, So Sei Chazal. So here we have over here the difference between, according to the Mitzvahs, we have over here a very another difference between, we're differentiating between Kodesh, between the Kohen Hedyon and the Kohen Gadol. And this also represents a degree of spirituality, because what is here? Here is the Klipos.
Right.
Okay, you ever go to these Hasidish Kabbalah Shiurim? Klipos, the here represents the Koyach. Yosef is mesalsel b'sa'aroi. Noshim have beautiful hair. It represents a certain koyach of I don't know what it represents. These are just words to me. But it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. But it's necessary. The world cannot exist without. The question is, how do you deal with it? An ordinary person should not be balgaiv to think that he can deal with it every single day. You have to let it be there. You have to let it exist. You have to have the Yetzirah. You have to enjoy yourself in this world. So therefore, once in 30 days is enough to deal with the klipas. The Kohen Gadol, who is the most exalted of the people of the spirituality, he is on a higher madrega. He deals with these issues of klipas, whatever this means, every single day. And when he deals with it, he deals with it in a very unique way. By folding it, by bending it, these are very mystical concepts of what it doesn't just mean a haircut. It means the hair is it's the klipos, something which grows superfluous. A hair is a se'ar. Se'ar is the same word as shar. Ze shar la Hashem. Every hair is a gateway. It's a gateway to the person's neshama, the person's head, the person's moyach, his brain, and it represents very mystical ideas. An ordinary person only can deal with this once in 30 days. More than that is gaiva. Kohen Gadol, he deals with this every single day in a beautiful way, and we compare it to spelt. Spelt, via pishta, via kusemes, loy nuku, right? Pishta, flax, and spelt, loy ki afilois hema, because they were latecomers.
Hey, no.
What?
Hey,
Because they weren't ripe yet.
They were not ripe yet. Those words obviously are you dealing with Egypt, and are you dealing with some very mystical things. Obviously, there has to be a connection between that, the fact that it deals with Egypt, the Kusemes, and here we're dealing with the Kohen Gadol. He has to say, at least according to the Mitsudos, who takes the word Kosoim and he connects it to the word Kusemes. Kusman. Let's see Rashi.
It looks a little like Hadassim.
Yeah.
Each branch.
But it overlaps. Hadassim, they overlap. And they have to overlap. Because if they don't overlap, then in fact it's possible by Hadassim.
Here it doesn't overlap. It just
here goes the tip of the one leaf, goes and reaches the root of the next. But here it's so small. What does that mean when it comes to a person's hair? And let's say the Kohen Gadol doesn't have hair. Let's say he's bald. Not everyone is zeichet to have hair. Here, grass doesn't grow on busy streets. So what happens? What happens if he has not here? So what does this mean? Is this an echo of being a Kohen Gadol? You ever heard before?
What story in the Gemara about somebody was able to get exactly the same type of haircut?
Elisha. He quotes it. He quotes over here. Elisha. There was the person who spent a lot of money to get this haircut. So obviously, this haircut is something which is very, very, very exclusive. It's not something which you go to your ordinary barber. Yeah, that's what it says. That's what we say. But what does that mean exactly? I mean, what does that mean? We're missing something. It's too simplistic, right? The top of one here, it reaches the tip of the next. What, do you have to fold it over? How do you fold over it here? What? To bend it? Yeah, but that's what you have a lot of it. You can't do it every single here. Person on the head, a lot of hairs. All right, I never understood this. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk avreshim legalechu lahavir es kol aser. So Rashi learns what I told you. Rashi talks about the prohibition to cut off your hair. You're not allowed to shave off your the peyos. And then when it's a pera lo yishalechu gidul ser lo yarbu kosoim yich simu. Yichsemu, Kakusemes Hazor. Rashi also says the same idea, like spelt Shesudurim Bishuvelas, that the leaves or different hairs are arranged along the stalk. Roishay Shal Zeh B'Tzadik Kori Shal Zeh Kach Shamati Mishmo Shal Rebbe Menachem Zecher Tzadik Levracha. How often do you have in Rashi a Zecher Tzadik Levracha? This is very, very fascinating. Over here, he writes, over here, I have the stiff saying, it's going to be called a Sfas Emes. You don't have this in your edition. Kach Shamati, Mishmoy Shal Rebbe Menachem, Tzorich Iyun, that's the Tzorich Iyun, the Hu Gemara Arucha B'Nedorim Daf Nun Aleph. Question is, why is Rashi quoting Rebbe Menachem when this is explicit in Masechta Nedorim Daf Nun Aleph, that the haircut of the Kohen Gadol Kosom Yichsimu means the tip of one here is bent against the root of the other here. Rashi didn't know Shas. Rashi did not know Masechta Nedarim. Rashi know Kalatur Kula. So what is Rashi quoting Masechta? What is Rashi quoting Rabbeinu Menachem? And also, what is Rashi referring to? Zecher Tzadik Levracha. This is a modern term. This idea to call someone to say Zatzal is a modern thing. This was—I don't know the exact year when this came into me, but it's
you
pretty
mean,
recent.
You're supposed to sing
Olav HaShalom. The Gemara says Avraham Avinu Olav HaShalom, Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. Today, if you write about a person Olav HaShalom, it means Avraham Aretz. Unfortunately, it's a put down. Right today, it's Zechet Tzadik Levracha, it's a modern thing that has come to be, and Rabbi Reisman, I told you, he was going to share the whole thing. It's a real shame, because when you say Zecher Tzadik Levracha, you're not really saying anything. When you say Olav HaShalom, that's a bracha. Shalom is the name of Hashem. He's saying that his neshama must be with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so it's a much, much more beautiful, much more
so
meaningful thing.
You're saying Olav on him.
Upon him, there should be Shalom. Hashem should be with him.
I know which Tzadik I'm referring to.
May God be with him. Olof Hashalom. It's well, you say Zeich Zal Livracha, so you mean obviously. So you say Livracha. What are you doing, Livracha? Better say Olof Hashalom. So therefore, it's a very bizarre thing. Why we have taken away, we've stripped away what is much more beautiful to say Olof Hashalom, and replaced it with Zecher Tzadik Livracha. By the way, where does it come Zeich Tzadik Livracha? It comes from last week's parsha. It comes from last week's parsha when it says by Sodom. Think about it. It says by Sodom. Hashem said, "Hamachas ani ne'Avraham." Abraham, then it goes on to say, I'm going to destroy Sodom. I have to tell Abraham, because I'm going to give all of his lands. Sodom is part of Eretz Yisrael, and I promised Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. Therefore, it's his land. I got to tell the landlord. I got to tell the Baal Bas what's going on in his land. And then the pasuk goes on to say, for Abraham, Hayo yeh legoy gadol otzum berav. What's that all about? Rashi. Oh, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Once already I've mentioned Avram's name. I've already mentioned. So now let me give him a bracha. So what do you learn from the air from Rashi? Zecher Tzadik Levracha is something to say about the living, not about the dead. Right? Is that what it says? Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Because I'm chasim Avram. Rashi says, oh, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. About the living, not the dead. So how did this become abused today to take what Rashi said about Avram Avinu and become to be used for only for the dead? If you say about a person, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, it's a very big disgrace. The person will say, reports of my death are premature.
If you, Menachem wasn't there.
What?
Maybe Menachem wasn't there.
So maybe you're right.
Maybe
you're right.
He just recently died.
Okay, I don't. I mean, what does it mean recent? Why is recent any different? Why is it any different? So all I can tell you is this is very, very, very strange. Very strange. Number one, it's a Feresh of Gemara. So why is he saying this? Number two, this expression Zecher Tzadik Levracha L'chor does not go back to the time of Rashi.
Maybe it was added on later.
What? Maybe an editor put this in, somehow this crept in. This is something which, because you have to trace it, I don't know if the research, when we started using the term Zecher Tzadik Levracha, I don't think it goes back more than a few hundred years, 300-400 years at most, to say the term Zecher Tzadik, even that much. Zecher, I remember once I had a journal in Yeshiva, in Tar V'Das, where one of the Rashi Yeshivas, who was living, and he's still living, Baruch Hashem, he should be good and well, he wrote a Shtickel Torah. Not everyone has submit shtikl chtotara for the journal, and they wrote his name, Harav Hagoin, so and so Zatzal. Scandalous. And they printed it, scandalous. I mean, how did the copy editor allow that to go and to write about a living Rosh Hashiva? Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Oh, so Reisman said, Reisman was Messiah's him. Says, what's so terrible to say about the living? Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Hashem, the Pasuk says, the only Makar we have in the Chazal of Zecher Tzadik Levracha is the Rashi in Chumash, Vashem Omar, Avram Hoyeye, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. That's the whole Makar, and that was about the living. So this that we do today, it's a Mishnah, so we do today. Everyone is Zecher Tzadik Levracha, but and pointing out, this something is obviously wrong, because this does not belong in the time of Rashi, going back 700-800 years, and Rashi more, 1,000 years, right? 10, 11?
No, not 1,000.
Rashi was
about
10.
900-something.
900 years, so this is already... something which requires even how this crept into the Rashi. Next, we're talking before, Shaloshon Midas Dover Hashaveh, Loy Gizizas Roish. So now he has a new interpreter. What it means, Kosom Yichsmu, it means Lashon Midas Dover Hashaveh, something which is equal. Loy Gizizas Roish, Loy Gidl Seir, Ella Bemida Shaveh. It means Kosom Yichsmu is not telling us to Shoresh. I don't know what it means. It means somewhere balance. It's a term which means balance. Everything in life is all about balance, not Goldilocks. Not too little, not too much, not too soft, not too hard. Yeah. It's got to be all about balance. So here the pasuk says, "V'roisham lo yigalechu." On the one hand, they should not shave their head balds, but on the other hand, "Upera lo yishalechu." Don't let their hair grow very, very long. Life is all about kosom yichsmu esra shehem. There should be balance. It should be somewhere in the middle. In the middle is where it should be. And the word kosom, again, somehow, I don't know the sharish of this word. It means not spelt. It means balance. And that's v'yitachin. That's what it means. And that's a very, very powerful idea. There, that kohanim. What? A medium. So where does it come from? What do you find in Tanakh? The sharish of Chof Samach to refer to kos kiyod al kes, kiyod al kes ka. I mean, where does it come from, this word? With the mem, is the mem part of the sheresh, not part of the sheresh? Kosom, it means balance, a medium. And this is a very powerful idea Rashi is telling us, is that a role of a Kohen is to be in the middle. Extremism. There should not be extremism. This is the message. We have the Kohanim. The Kohanim are our leaders. They are leaders. Melech b'yofyoy sechazeno einecha. When you look at the king, or you look at the Kohanim, these are your leaders. So what do you see? You see their hair, you see their appearance. They should be in a state somewhere in the middle. Not too much to the right, not too much to the left. Balance. Extremism is something which the Torah is very, very against. The only thing we find that should be go to the extreme is humility. Me'oid, me'oid, have shefal ruach. That's the only thing where a person should go to the extreme. Everything else, a person should be right in the sweet spot, right smack in the middle. And that's the yisod of the Kohanim in the time of Mashiach. Next, now let's see over here. Oh, now let me just read to you over here.
Do you have more Rashi?
Is more Rashi? No, I don't have. You have more Rashi? That's it, all I got. What do you got? You have more Rashi? Read.
All right. Is it possible to explain it as an expression for a measure of a medium?
Yes, what you said?
No, and then there's a medium amount. Oh, there's a French.
French word. Okay.
Mold. Mold. To cut to medium length.
Medium, right, that's what he said. That's what he said, medium. Okay, so this is, now there are a few Maimori Chazal in the Gemara.
Yeah,
the Nedarim one, right? Right, that's, this is Nedarim, right, the Nedarim Daf Nun Aleph. This comes from Nedarim Daf Nun Aleph. Let me just find over here. Okay. Now, just the Gemara himself in Dharma. Just read. Okay, there's another Gemara which is not really relevant too much to our sugya, but the Gemara is Kimin Tisperes Lul Yonis. This here, according to Rashi's first interpretation and the Mitzudos, it's a certain type of haircut that was common in ancient times, called the Tisperes Lul Yonis. The Gemara says, "My tispares lul yonis on Rabbi Yehuda tisparta yichidaa, unique in its beauty." Heichidami amar Rabba roisha shel zebet zadikar shel zeke. That's the Gemara. Another story.
Lul yon is Julian.
Julian.
It's a Roman. Yeah, like lul yon means it's a Roman name. So it's a Roman style, obviously.
A Roman style. Okay. Let's see. We're almost out of time. Let's do one more pasuk very quickly. Just really started. Next pasuk of Al It's very simple. Wine, shesuya yayin. This was the tragedy of Aaron Nadav Avihu. Nadav Avihu. One of the sins they did was they came into the base of the Kodesh Lashon in a state of intoxication. So here's repetition. It is forbidden to drink, to be intoxicated. They may not walk into the Heichol, it says. That's very interesting, which means that they're allowed to be in a state of intoxication in the Azara, only inside of the Heichol. They may not be intoxicated. Rashi, into the Heichol. Now, over here, the Radak. Just look at the Radak, this Pasuk. He just makes a very small point. He just really touches upon the bigger question. What over here? Pasuk Chaval. Pasuk Chaval. Mem. Nothing. And Tzuras David does not always add, does not necessarily add anything. Tzuras David just says very simple translation. Rashi and the other Farshim, Rashi, there's more of a need to find depth in Rashi. But the Radak, he just touches upon the issue. What's the issue? What is going on? What are you teaching that we don't already know? Especially all these halachas, you can't shave your payas. We know all these things. This is in the Torah. This is the haftarah of Parshas Emor. It's a repetition. We just read the Parsha of Emor, all the laws of the Kohanim, and then the haftarah, Nachamo, the same thing again. What's going on over here? So the Radak, he doesn't answer, but he just touches upon the question. Look what he says. The Radak in Pasuk Chavalef, Yayin lo yishtu kol kohen achatz apnimis, be'ezras ha-kohanim in ha-mizbech v'lefim. So first of all, he disagrees. First of all, he disagrees with Rashi and the Mitzudos. And he says that wine, if you're intoxicated, you cannot walk past the Mizbeach. Not like Rashi and the Mitzvahs that says that you can walk past the Mizbech in the state of intoxication. You only can't walk on. You can't walk into the Heichal. He says you can't even walk past the Mizbech. The Ezra Kohanim and the Mizbech Luflim. Kamashah Kasim Torah. Now here is what he's touching upon. We already know this. So here he's lufish chidesh devarim she'ena mifudashim ma'torah shebichsav gam efshar chidesh devarim shehem laosid litoisefes kedusha. What does that mean? I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means. He's touching upon the obvious question.
Yeah.
What is going on over here? Efshar. He's mechadesh devarim shehem laosid that are going to be in the future litoisefes kedusha. To enhance, to give more kedusha, it's a mystery to me what that means. I really don't know. And there's a chazal here. No, that's really the next pasuk, that chazal, and a malbim. There is no malbim. Fine. So maybe this through the malbim. He does. Maybe address what the radak says. V'yayin lo yishu kol koyin. Omnam al shesia sayayin yisor kol koyin. Af. Hakoyhanim shelo yihyu ruuyim la'avoy.
Maybe that's the chiddush.
So maybe that's the chiddush. When you combine what the Radak says with what the Malbim says, each one by itself is not telling you, but two together, two to tangle. These two together are teaching you that's the chiddush. And maybe during the time of the Bayis, Rish, the Bayis Sheni, and the Mishkan, only if you're planning on doing avodah are you not allowed to be in a state of intoxication. But if you're not, you're just there for the show, you're there to watch, or like we learned before, these kohanim, what did they do? The kohanim who did averus and the tshuva, they were not allowed to go on the mizbeach. But they were allowed to do shechita, they were allowed to assist, to stand shmira. So even those kohanim still may not drink yayin. No one's allowed to drink yayin. Even if you're not doing something on the Mizbeach, maybe in the time of the Mishkan, the Bayis Rish Sheni, it was only if you do on the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to drink yayin. But if I'm not on the Mizbeach, I'm just there to help out in the kitchen, to clean the karbanos, then that I am allowed to drink yayin before I come for duty. No, at this tkufa, you're not allowed to drink wine. No one is allowed. Kol koin. That's what we're coming to teach. We're coming to add to the Bayis Shlishi.
So he's explained the Radak, Taisus Kedusha.
He's not, Malbim is not, there's never, I don't think the Malbim ever mentions the Radak.
Okay, I'm just
even
saying.
Though the Malbim, obviously, he knew of the Radak, he had to have it on the Radak, but he's saying his own idea, but when we combine the Radak with what the Malbim, we get more of a flavor.
What the Radak meant.
What the Radak meant, correct.
Right.
And also what the Malbim meant. Okay, we'll stop here. Pasuk HaVeis.